listening to Funeral 614, where we explain the fun in funerals, factual, useful, and noteworthy information. I am your host, Lori Diaz, the Funeral Chick, and today we're kicking off our mentoring series. January is National Mentoring Month, and so we're spending some time with people who I consider my mentor in the funeral industry. So I read an article recently that says that there are three C's in mentorship. One, consultant, two, counselor, and three, cheerleader. And so I'm so excited to talk to my guest today. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, and then I'm going to introduce him. So today's guest is from Dallas, Texas. He is the CEO of the largest funeral establishment in Fort Worth, Dallas, a Metroplex. He's a licensed funeral director in the state of Texas and Louisiana. He's a certified funeral service practitioner, a firearms instructor, a commissioned admiral in the Texas Navy. He's a professional, highly recognized speaker, and he hosts a weekly Ask the Undertaker radio and television show. For those interested in the industry, he also has a ride-along program. I can't wait to talk about that, giving those the opportunity to observe Golden Gate Funeral Homes practices. I want to welcome to Funeral 614, Mr. John Beckwith Jr.
All right. Funeral chick. I like that. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show. And thanks for opening up your funeral home so that we could come from the 614 to the 214 to tape on location. I kind of thinking back when I first met you, Dr. B. We were at a seminar in North Carolina in 2012, I think. And at the time, I was working for a funeral home, and I was newly licensed. And so you came in, you flew in, and you did, we had like a dinner, and you were the banquet speaker. And I think I was just enamored by how humble and how, some of us weren't even licensed in the room. And so you took time, even, I think you were the last person to leave, just taking pictures and just answering questions. I found that to just be very powerful because for me, I'm like, you were the first person that I met who actually had what we call a funeral home. Right. And so, and for that, just to take the time, and your wife just spent that time. And I remember we were walking, me and my husband were walking you guys back up to your room. And I was just like, I'm going to keep in touch with him. And you actually gave, most people are not going to just give you their personal number and say call or text. Mm-hmm. And so I just was, I'm thankful for that. So I just wanted to take the time in the National Mentorship Month to say thank you.
All right. You are welcome.
So I have some questions, and I know our listening audience has some questions too, but I want to ask a couple questions that I think are important for mentoring. So one of the questions is, who do you consider your mentor?
That's a very good question. So I've been blessed to have my mentor is actually my father. I grew up in the funeral business. So I was blessed to meet many people that did very well in this business, but most of them have passed on. So I've been blessed to have my father. He's still alive. He's still with me. So I'm able to speak with him daily.
Nice. And I was reading about your dad as well, because I always believe if you're going to have a guest, you should know some background information. Right. So I was reading about dad and how he bought the one-way bus ticket from Louisiana to Dallas.
That is correct.
And one of the things that I thought was interesting is that he kind of had it in his heart that the funeral service is what he was going to do from a young age.
He did. He's always knew that he was going to be a funeral home owner. He never wanted to do anything else. So thank God that the funeral home there believed in him.
Wow.
And they put him in a position there in Faraday, Louisiana, at a very young age.
Wow.
But they did have some racial issues there where the Ku Klux Klan kind of came in and started to kill some people that day.
Right.
So he was blessed to get on that bus and make it to Dallas. You hear those stories quite often. What I went through, and we kind of believe them sometimes
right.
We don't. So about 5 years ago, I get a phone call from the FBI, as well as a reporter from Faraday, Louisiana, and they came and did a story on him.
Wow.
And kind of confirmed all the things that he told
wow.
us.
Wow, wow.
So actually, we kind of thank the Ku Klux Klan for Golden Gate Funeral Home.
Wow. You know what? I when I was reading that story, I was like, wow, just the passionate desire to say when somebody picks up the phone and says you're next and you're I'm out of here and to come to another city and still be able to live out your dream that's awesome. One of the things that I also was reading is that it says that 71% of Fortune 500 companies offer a mentoring program to their employees. And so I think a good mentor has the desire to develop people. And that's why I really feel like you have a desire to develop people. And so tell me a little bit about the ride-along program.
Well, that's very important to me because most people can't afford mortuary college. And for those who cannot, we still allow them the opportunity to come and be a part of a funeral home. And then we have some people that just can't make up their mind.
Right.
You know, when they was younger, they was told to be a school teacher or they was told to be a bus driver or whatever the case may be. So we give you that opportunity to come back and live that dream.
Wow.
So you can still keep your day job and then still come hang out with me on the weekends.
I like that. I like that. And so how do they find out about the program? What do they do?
Well, we definitely advertise it on our website as well as word of mouth. It's been very good for that.
Wow. Okay. All right. So my other question, I have a ton. Let me see if I can set it up. Okay. So everyone has a funeral story. So you kind of talked about your dad being your mentor, but tell us briefly kind of what drove your passion. So I know it wasn't necessarily the dad, but did you have other options of something that you wanted to do, or did you get bit by the funeral bug is what we call it?
Well, this is my destiny. And I knew that at a very young age.
Wow.
I know you may have known the Tiger Woods story.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of have a lot of similarities, whereas his father was not able to do some of the things because of his race. That's the exact same thing that happened with my father.
Wow.
Some things he was unable to do. So he poured those things into me at a very young age. So as long as I can remember, as long as I can remember speaking or even walking, he taught me how to direct a funeral.
Mm.
I mean, in the kitchen, at the kitchen table,
wow,
in the chairs.
Wow.
When I drew pictures in elementary, I drew pictures of funeral homes because
wow,
that's what my father and I had in common.
Wow.
So I didn't really have to give it much thought. That was always in me.
Okay.
So nothing had to happen. It wasn't a light bulb that went off.
Right.
I was always destined to do this.
Wow.
I'm a prodigy of funeral services.
I love that. I love that. I think in another, it might have been the Dallas CEO magazine, there was a quote that they were quoting your dad, and they were saying that your dad said, you know, I can't instruct you from the grave.
Right.
So you need to run it now.
Exactly. So in my neighborhood, playing sports was very important.
Mm-hmm.
So you either had to play football, basketball. You had to do something in order to grow up in my neighborhood. So my father knew how much I love sports. So he would use sports analogy
mm-hmm.
to kind of make me understand funeral business.
Right.
And his quote was, I can't rebound you from the grave.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you shoot, if you miss, I need to still be present.
Wow.
In order to get that rebound for you and give it back to you so you can shoot again.
Right.
And he truly meant that. So he put me in charge at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to mortuary college at 18 years old. I became funeral director in charge 2 years later. And I was immediately in charge. I made a lot of mistakes, but he was there to rebound those mistakes. And he kept passing me the ball.
I love that because I think, you know, in this industry, sometimes they don't do the succession plan while the person is.
Oh, yeah. Yet alive.
Right. And so what happens is, you know, second or third generation, it doesn't. Funeral homes don't exist because mm-hmm. they don't have that ability. And so I think that's powerful that your dad would take that opportunity to say, you know what? I'm a coach. I'm still in the game.
Right.
But I'm a coach. I love that. I love that. Love that. Love that. OK, so what do you think? I know this is going to be off the cuff. What do you think the title of your autobiography would be?
That's a very good question. So if I had to title it, I just want to be known as a teacher.
Mm.
Period.
Teacher.
Just teacher.
Kaya.
Just
period.
Call it teacher and let them read into what did he teach.
Uh-huh. I love that. I love that. Now, I'm friends with you on Facebook and I watch you travel. I'm losing my voice. I watch you travel. Where do you go to unwind? Because sometimes funeral service can be, you know, we're on
24/7. Exactly.
So where do you go when you just need to just a little recharge?
And I'm glad you said that because I do travel quite often, and I don't travel to recharge. I don't travel
wow.
to get
okay.
away.
Talk
when
to
I
me,
travel,
Dr. B.
I actually travel to learn something.
Talk to me.
So I understand I have to get outside of my little Oak Cliff
okay.
in order to become a better person.
I love that.
So I never relax on vacation.
Okay.
I never rest on vacation.
Okay.
I go home to relax.
Okay.
My home is my castle.
Nice.
I bought the most expensive bed I could buy. I bought the biggest television that fits in my room. My bed goes up and down.
Uh-huh.
I eat in my bed.
Okay.
I do everything there.
Okay.
My home is my castle.
I love
and that's
that.
Where I go to get away.
Okay.
And I want to be with my wife. I don't want to be in a room full of people. I don't want to be on a plane.
Okay.
I want to be at home
uh-oh.
With my wife.
Educate.
and that's my getaway.
Okay.
What they call a staycation. is how I really get away.
Wow. My husband is shaking his head here in this podcast. So now I'm gonna have to rethink some things now, Dr. B. You just taught me about.
You know, travel is stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got another question. If you could curate a funeral museum gallery, what would you put in it?
And that's a very good question. I think what you have to put in is books, because no one now is reading books anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to actually pick up a piece of paper and read off the paper, not off an iPad,
okay.
not something that's on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you have to put in is notes. You have to put the notes from people who have came before you.
Okay.
And what they've been through and how they made it over.
Nice.
And then that's what I would put in the museum.
Nice. I'm looking forward to that museum. Now, let me see. How about your daughter works at the funeral home. And does your son?
No, just my
daughter. Okay, just the daughter works at the funeral home. Talk to me about how that is now that you're now pouring into another generation.
No, I'm really excited. Dashna did great. She went straight through high school and went 4 years in college, got a degree in business, and then went right to Marjorie College, became a licensed funeral director. So I'm just really proud of her. She's very smart. She's been here for 10 years. But we are a different generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so she speaks a different language. She's dealing with different people. So I'm really excited that she's going to be able to reach a generation that I can't reach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get to pour into her, but she's her own person.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't imitate me. She doesn't act like me. So I'm kind of excited on what's going to happen with this next generation.
Nice. I have two daughters as well, and they help out at the funeral home, but they haven't quite gotten bit by that bug yet. But I'm praying on it. What do you think are some things that you would like to change about our current industry? I mean, I think that you've been in the industry long enough that you've mm-hmm. kind of seen the trend, if you will. What
right.
do you think you would like to change, or what do you think do you see coming?
I think we have to open up. We have to be open to new ideas. We have to be open to people that don't always believe in what we believe in. I think we're just so traditional
mm-hmm.
and we're very judgmental of people. And I think that's what we have to change. And we have to change that immediately before we lose this next generation.
Wow. One of the things I kind of read is, I don't know if they quoted you correctly, but you kind of said you're the face of Golden Gate.
I am.
And so do you feel like that's some pressure with that, or do you feel like, how do you feel about that?
Well,
Does that mean you're always on when you're out, you're always Golden Gate, or do you?
Truly believe funeral business is a personal business.
I
don't believe we're like Coca-Cola or a Pepsi. I think you need to be able to put a person with something when someone passes away. I don't want you to remember Golden Gate Funeral Home. I want you to know that you can hold John Beckwith Jr. responsible.
Right.
If something goes wrong, call me, not a funeral home. And I think that's important that every funeral home has a face and a person,
mm-hmm.
because that's my mother, that's my father. They're not just some deceased person or not a number. I want a person responsible for a person.
Right. When they come to Affinity, I am the face.
There you go. You're the face. And regardless how big you get, you mm-hmm. want to always be that face.
I love that. Let me see. Do you remember... I get nervous when a funeral service happens,
okay.
and I don't know if it's because I want it to be right, but is there some steps that you kind of go through in your mind every funeral service? Do you kind of still have the checklist that runs through, or how do you prepare really for a funeral that you're going to go on?
So I am nervous if I did not prepare. So I make sure the night before, the day before, the week before that I am 100% prepared for that service.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's game time, I can just go in and play.
Okay.
I don't have to worry about anything because I know I have covered
everything.
And not only do I hold myself responsible, but I hold my staff to that same standard. And that's why I can relax at a funeral, because I know that there's nothing that's not covered.
How did you come up with SWOT? I know I saw the acronym, but mm-hmm. is that something that you birthed here?
It is definitely something I birthed here. It's just stepping with an anointed touch. Like I said, in my travel, and I've traveled all over the world,
uh-huh.
When I was in London, we went to a funeral there, and the person was actually being carried on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And the military was carrying them, and they were perfect in their marching. I mean, they lift their feet, right on time,
wow.
right on beat. Everything was perfect. We saw the changing of the guards.
Uh-huh.
So I said, listen, I can do that, and I can bring that back to our funeral home. and we can put a little rhythm with it. We can make it an African-American thing.
Right.
So that's how we came with stepping with an anointed touch.
I like that. No, so does SWAT travel or where, is it just local here in Dallas or SWAT travels?
I'm glad you asked that because, you know, we get pretty excited about that. So we were in Washington, D.C. We did a couple services there, as well as San Francisco, California. We performed in Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, you name it, just about every state we have performed in.
Okay, well, I'm having you in Ohio.
Listen, the staff love to travel. Baltimore, we've been just about everywhere.
Nice. Well, I have some other questions. I'm going to sit here. I'm kind of trying to kind of...
I'll tell you, I'm enjoying it, yeah.
Let me see. I'd like to ask, I watched this show called Vogue 73 questions on, and they ask like they just fire off firestorm of questions. Okay. So some of the questions are going to kind of come from that. So one of the questions they said is, what TV or movie character is most like you and why?
That's a very good one. Depending on who I'm speaking to here. So if I'm speaking to my friends, I would say I'm Scarface.
Okay.
So I'm the guy that's going to fight to the end, that I'm not going to give up. You're going to have to actually kill me off of this throne.
Okay.
And I'm going to be the guy that's going to come out, and I'm going to have the big machine gun. And until you just knock me off this throne, I'm going nowhere. So I guess that would be my character.
That's a good one. I remember watching Scarface when I was younger. I watched it with my father, and that scene at the end, he was like, you want some of me? I was like, oh my goodness.
So I kind of feel that way. I like Training Day with Denzel Washington. You know, and those people that's willing to die for what they believe in, and you give it your all.
Nice.
And I think that's pretty much describe who I am.
All right. If you could... this is weird too. If you could be an animal, what would you be and why?
Definitely a lion.
Wow.
Because I'm the king of the jungle.
Okay.
I'm at the top of the food chain.
All right.
And so there's no question about it, that's what I'll be.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I love you, Dr. V. You don't, this is one of the things that when you have a mentor, to be able to actually just sit down and just ask them things that not necessarily are always about funeral service, mm-hmm. but just about them and as a person is it helps you to kind of see why they move the way they move or how they do things they do. So now when I see you on travel, I'm not thinking, oh, Dr. B's getting some relaxation.
Definitely
not. Dr. B's learning. So now I need to send a text. Dr. B, what'd you learn
exactly.
on that trip? That'll be my takeaway from there. You talked about having books in the museum, in the funeral museum. What are you reading, and what would you suggest that other people pick up to read?
So what I read is the Bible, because I am inspired by the Bible. I've been called to be a minister of the Lord. And so I can kind of take that scripture mm-hmm. and apply it to myself, but also apply it to my business.
Mm,
so
nice.
That's really where I put my concentration.
One of my apostles, Warren, talks about being in position to be a marketplace minister. And he talks about how when you're on your job, you're actually in that marketplace to be a minister. And I think that's kind of how funeral service is. It is a ministry. It's a calling. A lot of the staff members, I tease them, but a lot of them are ordained ministers
that's
on my staff.
No question.
A lot of them are. And I'm like, man, right. Is that the only people I'm hiring? But it's just, I think that it really is it's a calling. It really is purposeful, and it has a purpose. And I think that we can use the Bible to relate to our business, because we're unapologetic Christians. That's
exactly.
what we are. And so I think I love the fact that even on Ask the Undertaker, you open it up, you go start with the scripture. I watched it so
prayer.
Many times. I can tell you.
Every staff meeting, everything mm-hmm. we have, we start with scripture
right.
and prayer.
Right. I love that. Dr. B, what questions would you have for a mentor if you had an opportunity to ask? What would you ask?
I would ask, are you intimidated by anything? Are you intimidated by anything or any people?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't believe you can be a very good mentor if you're intimidated by somebody that may be coming up. So you don't really pour into them because you think they may one day be your competitor.
Right.
Or that you look at them, you say, they're going to be better than I am. So
right.
I'm not going to give them all the secrets.
Right.
So that's one of the questions I would ask them. What are they intimidated of?
That's powerful, because I think, I don't know if you haven't experienced it, but sometimes in the industry, you do try to find out other information, and people don't often want to share.
Right.
You know, you kind of have to go out of town to get information.
I think it's a trade secret.
I'm like, you said it earlier when we were setting up. You said there isn't anything in funeral service that another
funeral home that don't have or don't have assets, if that's true.
So it's like, are there really some trade secrets?
it really
is kind of how you deliver and how you build on the relationship, because this
personal.
Business is relationship.
Right. And it's a personal business. I mean, you know, the way I speak is not the way you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we said the exact same words, it's just not going to come out the same. So that's what makes us different, is that we are different. So there shouldn't be any trade secrets. I feel like you can't pour into someone, even if they're a competitor right next door. It doesn't matter about me pouring into you.
Right.
Because when I empty myself, God fills me back up.
Right.
So I think you just can't be intimidated. You can't get to the point where you don't want to share things with others, especially right. in this industry.
How many employees do you have at Golden
Gate? So we have 80 full-time employees, and we have about 25 part-time employees.
Okay.
And we've done 37 services in one day.
Wow.
So that day, you know, we may have had 150 people on staff that day.
Wow. And now, what is a typical day for you, Dr. B? How do you start your day and how do you end your day?
I'm glad you said that. So, of course, I wake up with my wife, Jackie.
Jackie.
That is so important to me. And people say, well, why does that even count? It does. It makes a big difference who you wake up to that they can pour into you.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they can do is either give you some wind or they can knock the wind out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, I have some wind placed into me.
And she's cold-blooded,
every morning,
too.
And I've been
she
really
is beautiful.
Blessed. With that. And then I'm a firm believer you have to find some energy somewhere. Some people work out in the morning. I'm a coffee drinker.
Okay.
I don't add the sugar or the cream, but the caffeine does what it needs to do. And then on the way to work, I'll reach out to like my cousin Michael Beckwith or someone that can pour into me as well, because I need that win. I need that strength before I sit down with my staff. And then at 8 o'clock every morning, Monday through Friday, I sit down with the staff and we have a 5-part staff meeting that includes scripture and prayer. Then we go over review. Then we have a house cleaning, a funeral 101, and then we do words of encouragement.
Now, is funeral 101 where you're given a tip or something of the day or something that
and
you
want?
That's
a very good question. I have so many things to learn in this business that you have to constantly teach. And then I'm constantly learning. So if I learn something, I'll come back and teach them as well. I may say, don't put flower cards so people can see them. You know, hide the flower cards behind the flower. Don't take them out because you need to know who the flower belongs to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't show church trucks at a funeral. I don't like to see wheels. You know, put a flower in
that's
front of
me
it.
Too. I don't like to see wheels.
You know, put something over it. So I'm constantly teaching. Do a funeral checklist. You have to check it off because your memory is not that good.
And,
you know, don't park in a tight space. So just many different things we have to teach each day.
That's when
a funeral 101 comes in.
Do you would you credit yourself for teaching all the staff, or did you have to teach for so many years and then someone else took that on, or do you feel like you're the main? How Golden Gate runs, is it how
right.
Dr. B and Dad kind of?
Yes, yeah, definitely me. I take on that responsibility.
Okay,
so that's the role I'm in now. I would like to see my daughter step up into that role.
Okay,
but she has to mature into that, and she has to be ready to do that. But
right
now, that is my responsibility.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And so in this industry, we're not void with having a loved one pass. How do we as professionals kind of handle that part, that grief part that we kind of deal with as well?
Right. You have to believe in your staff. If you have trained them and you have taught them well, you can actually sit back and grieve and allow them the opportunity to service you.
Mm.
So what happens is that we have a loved one pass away. We want to micromanage it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make our own funeral arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
We want to embalm our own loved ones. We want to dress them. We want to cast
right,
them.
Right.
And the staff is already intimidated because you're present. They know it's your loved one. So they're so afraid that they're not going to get it right. You really have to just believe in what you have taught them and just let them handle the service.
That's powerful. I was thinking of a time where before when my father passed, I wasn't in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so now as I'm replaying his funeral in my head, I'm always thinking of things like,
I could have done something different.
Why did they do that? And so now I'm like, it's funny now that I kind of can look back and kind of say, well, I see it from a different perspective
right.
now. And I think I see it also from a different perspective as an owner.
Mm-hmm.
My mentor in the business when I first started, Mr. Gary, used to say, Lori, you have to decide if you're going to be the employee or the employer.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you got to decide which one you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you decide that, you need to run with it, whatever one you're going to do. And so I was the employee for a long time.
Right.
And then I think kind of pushed out the nest to be the employer. And so I think mentorship really has helped me to be the employer. Just kind of even just watching people, how they handle how they handle even people coming up to them. Mm-hmm. You don't know this, but I watch at conventions how many people come up, Dr. B, can I take a picture?
Right.
You've never been rude or too busy to kind of say, okay, sure. I mean, mm-hmm. and that means a lot to people. There are some people, they're not stopping to take a picture.
Right.
I've been to some places, they're not stopping to take a picture. They're not.
I don't want that reputation.
Right. And so I think that I really appreciate how humble you are in this business. And you shared earlier that you shouldn't forget your humble beginnings.
Exactly.
And I think that that is important to, as you're kind of growing a business, to kind of know
right.
where you started. Because they don't, you probably have to tell the story about how Dad started so that people
we
who
do.
Are coming on Golden Gate know, and they can also take that on with them
right.
as their
there's
passion.
There's a whole generation that works here that never met my parents because Dad is not here every day anymore. And of course, my mother passed away 20 years ago.
Okay.
So I have a whole staff that has no idea of the foundation of who we are. So you're right. Quite often we have to remind them.
Now, how long have you been doing Ask the Undertaker show?
Now, that's a very good question. We've been on radio about 15 years now.
So okay.
we've been doing it for quite a while.
And are there any plans for, I think this, does this mark 40 years?
Yes, this is our 40th
Any plans to do anything in September? Any celebratory plans?
So that's Jackie's job. So
okay.
she's the planner.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm positive that she'll have
okay.
something.
Okay, I was looking at that.
A big deal for the 30th, so I'm pretty sure she'll do the same. For the
nice. Nice. That's nice. Now, what advice would you give someone who, we talked about the ride-along program, but What advice would you tell a person who's trying to get into this industry? What do you think that they need to know or have or thought process when they're wanting to be in funeral service? Because sometimes they pull up on the lot, they see the cars.
They think we make all this money.
They see the mm-hmm. you know, embroidered shirts. And they just say, oh, Dr. V. They don't realize that it took work to get to that point.
Exactly.
So what would you?
So I say three things. First of all, are you nice? So, no, the bottom line is that everybody
right.
is not nice.
Right.
And if you're not nice, please don't get in this business.
Right.
You are going to kill our reputation
right.
as funeral directors, and much as we've worked to obtain that. Some people are just not nice people. And if you're not a nice person, you know, go work for the police department.
Right.
Go work for you know, the government or something like that. Because there are some jobs you don't have to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, you have to be nice. People are at their worst moment.
Right.
And you don't have to be the smartest person.
Right.
You don't even have to be the very best.
Right.
Just be nice. Then the second thing I tell everybody, you have to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody's just not humble people. Some people are just arrogant people.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's you, funeral business is not
for you.
For you. You have to humble yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I deal with people on every level. I help people come in here with absolutely no money. And I have to humble myself. I have to say, listen, I need to help you. I have people come in here that can spend $1 million
mm-hmm.
on a service if they choose to. And I have to humble myself regardless of the situation. And if that's just not who you are, please do not become a undertaker.
We
don't want you in our business. You're going to ruin it. You have to be nice. You have to be humble. And the third thing is you can't be a complainer.
Mm.
If you know, you've met
right
that
there.
Person.
That's good right
you know, every
there.
Time you go to dinner or lunch, the
that's
food
good.
Is never right.
That's good
It's
right
like
there.
You always send the food back. You never like the waitress. You never like the waiter. You never like the place. If you're a complainer, we don't want you in our business. Because when you bring that spirit with you, everybody starts to complain.
Mm-hmm.
When you start complaining, your employees start complaining. The
mm-hmm.
People you service, now everybody is complaining
right.
instead of grieving properly or celebrating.
Right.
So those are three things I would tell anybody. If you don't fit in that category, please go do something else.
Do something else.
Yes. So, you know, be nice, be humble, and whatever you do, don't complain.
I love that. I think when I was researching wanting to be in the funeral industry, I looked at the qualifications of a funeral director,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, I have that compassion and,
you can do
and
all
sweet
that stuff.
And nice, and I'm like,
empathy
I think I
and
can,
sympathy
yeah,
and all that.
Because I think that you really do mm-hmm. have to, you know, we don't want to get desensitized.
Desensitized, or something like that.
Yeah,
we
something
don't
like
want to be to the point where we're not sensitive anymore.
Right. So you want to be able to, feel what people feel, and you've had that experience of sitting on that front row,
right?
And actually being there. And so I think that is one of the things. I read this one article. It was talking about funeral directors being there, and that is what we offer
mm-hmm.
is to be able to say, you know, I know how you feel, or at least to not really know how you feel, because sometimes. Even though you've experienced grief, you don't really know how that person feels,
right.
but you know what it feels like to grieve. One of the things that I think when I was watching your show, you said there's always two things that you talk about on Ask the Undertaker Show. You say you always talk about pre-needs and you always talk about insurance.
Right.
Why is that?
That is so important. Most people are afraid of funerals, or they're afraid of someone dying. So they never hold the conversation what they want done with them. Mm-hmm. So their family's always guessing. We'll come in and say, hey, what color? Oh, he liked the Cowboys, so let's make everything blue and silver. Mm-hmm. But they never held that conversation.
Right.
Or he was Omega, so let's put him in a purple and gold casket. But you never held that conversation. So that's the reason why we really push pre-need. Right. And to educate people about what pre-need is. It's not something that you purchase. It's just a conversation and something you put in writing. Mm-hmm. Of this is what I want done at my service. And the second thing is insurance so that we can pay for it.
Right.
You want to be able to pay for your wishes, and then your family needs to be able to live after you're gone.
And I think it was an older Ask the Undertaker that I was listening to, and it was saying how the light bulb kind of went off, because I think sometimes people just have just enough insurance just to do the service.
That's it.
And you talked in depth about having to leave an inheritance to actually exactly. have something to actually live and not to leave after, because they have to live after the service.
Right.
And so that kind of changed the mentality of me and making sure that even on the show, this is our opportunity to talk exactly. about the importance of insurance and being able to provide that for your families, because that is something that's powerful.
And to lose that income, mm-hmm. that's just really amazing. People forget how much money you really make.
Right.
People say, oh, well, I just don't make that much money.
Right.
You know, if you make $50,000 a year.
Right.
That is a lot of
right.
money. Just in 5 years, you're talking mm-hmm. about $250,000.
Right.
So how many people have $250,000 insurance on their loved one?
Because mm-hmm.
you're only replacing their income for 5 years.
Right, right.
You got to have at least $1 million on somebody right. that only makes $50,000 right. a year.
I need to rethink that, Mike, huh?
Yeah, because, you know, the mortgage is 30 years.
Right.
The car note is 5 years. Mm-hmm. You have college.
Absolutely.
I mean, to lose that income, and that's when you got to realize how much money you really make.
Right, right. Now, part of that same show that I was watching, you kind of said, my office is the first door. You said, I want to be laid. You said, your sister wants mm-hmm. just a traditional service.
She's very traditional.
But you said you want it all.
I have five funerals. Yeah, I have five funerals. And I'm not going to be buried.
Okay.
And then I'm not going to be cremated.
Okay.
I had the opportunity to visit Rome.
I
went to the Vatican.
Uh-huh.
And then the popes and bishops, they're still in the walls.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to be right here in this office. I'm uh-huh. going to be in a glass casket, and they'll be able to view me from now.
I did read that. I wanted thanks mm-hmm. for breaking that part down, because I was like, I'm going to ask it. Because I saw that you had said that you had seen that.
In the Vatican.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they still have the dead people there. You know, even Peter
wow.
is there, because that's what the Vatican is built on, is his grave.
See, mm-hmm. I didn't know that part, but mm-hmm. maybe with these flight benefits.
There you go. So now you're not traveling to relax. You're traveling to learn. And relax at home.
That's good. Okay, let me see. I think I got a few more questions, and we're gonna wrap up.
Okay.
Let's see. We talked about mentors, and we talked about some that you have had mentor you who might have passed on. What do you think that what nugget do you think that you could share with me that they might have shared with you?
Well, one of them was Mr. Ben Johnson, that started the Winfield Funeral Homes in Louisiana. And one of the things he shared with me is to take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
Not just take care of funeral business, but to take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
So he owned his own insurance company, owned his own casket company, and he was very well off financially.
Okay.
So that's one of the things I got from him. And then there was Mr. Walter Wilson that my father worked for in the 60s. And he taught me to put on a show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to look sharp, and you know, people feel better when they see someone that's looking good and have some beautiful cars, and
mm-hmm.
you know, always give people exactly what they want and a little bit more.
Right.
So those are some things that was poured into me by those mentors.
I like that. And so as you're kind of saying that, I can kind of see that you've listened.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Because whenever I see Dr. B, I said, I gotta have a popping suit when I go see Dr. B, because Dr. B's going to be dressed. So I gotta be dressed. I love that, Dr. B. One of the other things that I want you to do is just kind of, I don't know, maybe just give some parting words for our listeners, just to kind of maybe words of encouragement or whatever you feel on your heart to kind of share with our Funeral 614 audience.
Well, I tell you, if I could share anything, what I want to share is that you need to pour into people. If you really want a reward The best way to get that is to see it grow in other people.
Mm-hmm.
I see you now that's doing the broadcast. I remember you said, John, I'm going to be your mentee. And I was like, this is, you know, I'm her mentor. So since that time, you've opened a funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have your own podcast. So that is the best reward for me. And that's better than any type of money that I've had or anything I've ever been able to purchase. But to see you grow in the funeral industry. Mm-hmm. So I'll say to anyone, if you really want a true reward, pour into people.
I love that. I love that. Well, I thank you for your time. I thank you for opening, giving us a tour of Golden Gate.
All right.
Just talking to you about your experience in funeral service. I think that that has been very powerful. I appreciate the time today, and thank you. I want to conclude this episode with a quote about mentoring. The mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, the great teacher inspires. It's my hope that your journey includes one filled with mentoring inspiration, as mine has been enriched by people such as Dr. John Beckwith Jr. Well, that's our time, and we look forward to our next episode in our mentoring series. Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate our audience. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Store, or wherever you consume podcasts. If you feel so inclined, leave us a comment, but please be sure to share this episode in your circle of influence. Until the next episode, I am Lori Diaz, the funeral chick. Remember to serve well and have fun. Make it a great day.